Friends, I would like to read a section of scripture that is very precious to me. I've given it a fair bit of consideration, and I reflected earlier today that we're in the run-up to Christmas. We know the season very well, and it's a happy time where we can give one another gifts to make each other happy, and we feel blessed and we feel loved. What I want to bring before you tonight is the greatest gift that has ever been given in the history of time. And this greatest gift came at the greatest cost. I want to emphasize that to you tonight, that this gift has not come for free. When we buy each other presents, as we do, they come at a cost. We have to make a sacrifice. But again, this greatest gift came at the greatest cost. And I was wondering which passage of scripture to refer to, and I thought there is no better passage of scripture to refer to than those that describe the crucifixion of Christ, because it is there that the cost, that cost is detailed and described, the sufferings of Christ. And unless, my friend, you know the cost, the sacrifice and the suffering, you will never understand the love of God that is towards you. So I want to refer to Matthew 27. It's a difficult passage of scripture to know where to begin and where to end, so I'll commence at verse 22, Matthew 27, verse 22. In the JND version of the Bible, which I'm reading, it's on page number 1188. Pilate says to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all say, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "What evil then has he done?" But they cried more than ever, saying, "Let him be crucified." And Pilate, seeing that it availed nothing, but that rather a tumult was arising, having taken water, washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am guiltless of the blood of this righteous one. See ye to it." And all the people answering said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released to them Barabbas, but Jesus, having scourged him, he delivered up that he might be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor, having taken Jesus with them to the praetorium, gathered against him the whole band, and having taken off his garment, put on him a scarlet cloak, and having woven a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and bowing the knee before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And having spit upon him, they took the reed and beat him on his head. And when they had mocked him, they took the cloak off him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify. And as they went forth, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to go with them, that he might bear his cross. And having come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave to him to drink vinegar mingled with gall. And having tasted it, he would not drink. And having crucified him, they parted his clothes amongst themselves, cast in lots, and sitting down, they kept guard over him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then are crucified with him two robbers, one on the right hand and one on the left. But the passers-by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou art Son of God, descend from the cross." And in like manner the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. He is King of Israel. Let him descend now from the cross, and we will believe on him. He trusted upon God. Let him save him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am Son of God.'" And the robbers also, who had been crucified with him, cast the same reproaches on him. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. But about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of those who stood there, when they heard it, said, "This man calls for Elias." And immediately one of them, running and getting a sponge, having filled it with vinegar and fixed it on a reed, gave him to drink. But the rest said, "Let it be, if Elias comes to save him." And Jesus, having again cried with a loud voice, gave up the ghost. And lo, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth was shaken, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints fallen asleep arose, and going out of the tombs after his arising, entered into the holy city, and appeared unto many. But the centurion, and they who were with him, on guard over Jesus, seeing the earthquake, and the things that took place, feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this man was Son of God." It wasn't my desire to read such a long passage of scripture, but I feel it's necessary. And as I said at the outset, I just want to focus your minds on the greatest giving that was ever given, the giving or the offering of the life of Jesus there at Calvary's cross. And I want you to consider the cost that it was to Jesus. It is such a wonderful story, and there's such great news in the gospel. The gospel is indeed good news. It is great news, my friend. The good news is that you can have all your sins forgiven, past, present, and future. They can be wiped away. They can be washed away, omitted before the sight of a holy and righteous God forever. And you can find life eternal in Christ. And you can have the hope of going to be with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven when he comes for you. But my friend, I've read this passage of scripture because we have to confront some uncomfortable truths about ourselves. And we have to understand the context that our Lord Jesus Christ was God himself. And in him sin was not. He came from glory's highest heights. He came from heaven, from a past eternity, and he was born into this world, and he walked here amongst men and women and children, just like you and I, but sin apart. And he displayed nothing but the love of God towards mankind. Think of the mercy and the grace and the compassion of Jesus, how he healed all who came to him. Some were afflicted by blindness, some were afflicted by deafness, some were paralyzed, some were demon possessed. All went away healed, healed completely. And my friend, that is what is on offer tonight in the gospel. The good news concerning our Lord Jesus Christ is complete healing. Complete healing from sin, so that it is, as the scripture describes, as far as the east is from the west. Can you measure that, my friend? Think of that. The compass, north, east, south and west. And if you look to the west and you look to the east, how far away from each other are they? You can't put a distance on it. And that is used to describe how far our sins are put away from us. So that when God looks upon us, he sees no sin. But I want us to consider this precious passage of scripture to just fully understand the cost for Jesus, my Saviour. Because our salvation did not come free. It came at a tremendous cost, and the Lord Jesus Christ bore it there at Calvary's cross. Think of him, the righteous, the holy Son of God, who did no sin. There was ample evidence, as witnessed in that Pilate's judgment hall, that he was free from sin. Pilate said, "I find no sin in him." And I think of this scene, you think of the context of our Lord and Saviour being such a gentle man, showing such love and compassion for the years that he walked this earth. And then you see the hatred of man against him. The darkness of that scene. And it is there, my friend, that he was rejected. Rejected by men. And it says in this passage of scripture, "What evil then has he done? But they cried more than ever, saying, let him be crucified." And that means that applies to each and every one of us, that as those that are away from God, that we would not rather not have Jesus reign over us. And the passage moves on, and there are those at that cross who say, "His blood be on us and on our children." And he released to them Barabbas. But Jesus, having scourged him, he delivered up that he might be crucified. And there you read about the hatred of men. They wove a crown of thorns, made no doubt in great pain, and it was thrust there upon the head of the Saviour. And they gave a reed in his right hand, and bowing the knee before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spat upon him. You think of the mockery of man, the hatred of man. And my friend, we have to acknowledge that as men, women and children away from God, naturally, by nature, we have no desire for Jesus. But it is only as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts that we understand these passages of Scripture. We understand the depths to which the Saviour went to. We understand the tremendous cost and the suffering that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and causes us to reflect on our sin, our sinful condition. And we look at these scriptures and we see that he was mocked. And they say to him, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou art Son of God, descend from the cross." And think of the mockery there, that they said to him, "If thou art Son of God, descend from the cross." Of course, he was able to descend from the cross. He was indeed the Son of God, and he could have called on 10,000 legions of angels. That scene could have been swept in judgment, but my Lord and Saviour did not do that. He went that way that he might be crucified, that he might suffer for us. And the scripture moves on in verse 45 to talk about the darkness that cover the whole land. It says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. But about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" My friend, I have taken you through some of the sufferings of Jesus at the hands of men and women, and they were awful. They were hard to bear. There was mockery. There was physical abuse. It was a dark scene. But this, my friend, was even darker for the Saviour, because during this period of darkness, this 3 hours of darkness, it is there that he suffered the just judgment of God for your sin. He suffered the just judgment of God for the sins of the world, for every man, every woman, every child. But let's make this personal tonight, that he suffered for your sin at Calvary's cross. He suffered in these 3 hours of darkness. You see, I don't know whether you understand this, but every time we sin, there is a judgment outstanding against us. Every time we lie, every time we steal, every time we're envious, every time we lust, every time we get angry and sin, all these things are a departure from the will of God for each and every one of us. And unless we trust in Christ, there is a judgment outstanding, because God is holy and he is righteous and he cannot abide sin. He is sinless, and the Son that he sent was and is sinless. And my friend, I'm not sure if this is news to you or not, but I want to tell you tonight that you have a never dying soul. A never dying soul. And if you do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and friend, then there will be no alternative but for the judgment of sin to fall upon your head when you pass from this scene into eternity. But my friend, when you look at this passage of scripture, when you look at these verses in Matthew 27, verse 45, this is probably the most critical, the most important part of the Bible for the believer. Because, as I said before, it is here that Jesus suffered for the sins of the world, that you may never need to suffer for them. I've spoken about dark scenes. I've spoken about judgment. But my friend, there is hope, great hope, because of this great giving, the greatest giving of all time. Because of this, you can have hope. If you come to the Saviour, there are conditions, my friend, and this is the only condition to having your sins forgiven, that you call out to the Saviour in your need, "Lord, save me." You see, I don't know what your circumstances are, but sometimes we're brought to a point in our lives where we understand that we have a great need, that we have a great need to be saved. We have a great need to be saved from our sins before the sight of a holy and righteous God. When we understand the extraordinary love of God towards us, these scriptures should emphasize to you the extraordinary love of God, because he sent his Son into this world. He sent his Son to be born into this world. He sent his Son on a pathway that led only to this cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ was subject to the will of his Father, that he might go through the hatred of man, that he might go through the agony of crucifixion, that he might go through the agony of having nails smashed through his hands and through his feet, that he might go through the agony of being hung there on Calvary's cross, that he might go through the just judgment of God for your sin, that you might be saved. Do you understand, my friend, the extraordinary love of God that is towards you? I pray that the Holy Spirit may work in your heart and your soul, that you might understand that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you so much that he was prepared to go all the way, that he was prepared to accept and exhaust the just judgment of God for your sins, that you might be forgiven. And all he's waiting for is for you to say, "Lord, save me." It's so wonderfully simple, my friend. He wants you to understand that sacrifice was made for you at Calvary's cross. He wants you to be able to repent. This is so important, my friend, to acknowledge that we are wrong before the sight of a holy and righteous God, and say that we are sinners. Sometimes I find myself saying that. Oh God, I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven. I thank God that I am a Christian, so I know my sins have been forgiven. They've been washed away. They are eradicated. But now and again, I have to come before him and still ask for his forgiveness, that I might renew my links with God and know that fresh joy and peace of having my sins forgiven. So, my friend, I just pray that the Lord may work in your heart and your soul this evening, that you may be able to repent, ask for his forgiveness, and that you might be able to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean, having faith? It means that you trust that it is true. It means that you trust that what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for at Calvary's cross, at the hands of a holy and righteous God, is sufficient, is complete. And we know it is complete, because he said there at Calvary's cross, "It is finished." And that speaks to me about the completeness of the work of Christ. Every sin was suffered for completely and entirely, nothing left. And my friends, my simple message tonight is that it's all available to you. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what your circumstances are, this year has been full of difficult circumstances in so many different ways. But I just pray, my friend, that you might come to yourself and fall on your knees in repentance towards God and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he will give you forgiveness. You will know the blessing of having your sins lifted from your shoulders. And you will know, you will experience full freedom before Jesus, in being able to speak to him, in being able to pray to him, in being able to praise and worship him freely with no distance, and to even be able to worship God, God our Father, who then is no longer a distant God, but is a loving God and Father, made known through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is indeed the greatest giving that has come at such tremendous cost. I just pray, my friend, that you will accept this offer of mercy and grace and compassion. I just pray that you might understand again the extraordinary love of God towards you tonight. You know, sometimes I think of the love of God in this way. If you imagine you're at a beach and the tide is out, and then you lie down at the water's edge with your feet at the water's edge, and then you wait for the tide to turn, and slowly the waves creep up your body until they engulf you. And in a strange way, sometimes it just feels like the love of God is like that. It's so tremendous, so great, so unstoppable. The tide of God's love flows towards you in the gospel tonight, that it cannot be resisted. I just pray, my friend, that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and friend. May it be so, for his name's sake.